doesn't dread packing for a trip? We worry about packing too much, forgetting things at home, incurring the wrath of the TSA, and fitting our bags in the overhead bin. But there are ways to take the stress out of packing. I'm Beth Harpaz, travel editor for the Associated Press, and this is the AP Travel Podcast, Get Outta Here. Today we'll get some packing advice from a couple of people who spent a lot of time in the air. Two of my colleagues from the Associated Press, former airlines reporter Scott Merowitz and political reporter Lisa Lehrer. Welcome to Get Outta Here, and thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
First, let's hear a little bit about each of you. How did you earn your packing expertise? Scott, how many miles do you fly in an average year, and how many times do you get on and off an airplane?
Oh, I mean, those are very private things. Let's just say my number is well over 100,000 miles back in the day before I had a daughter who's now two. I covered the airline industry and travel industry here for nearly 6 years and was on the road a lot, every type of commercial aircraft you could think about. And I would say, 30 to 40 flights a year, segments where I had to fight my way onto the plane and get my bag into the overhead bin.
And Lisa, you covered the presidential campaign for AP in 2015 and 2016. What are your travel statistics like from that gig? How many states did you file stories from? How many days a week were you away from home?
Well, so the Clinton campaign was actually my second presidential. So between the two presidential campaigns I did and a bunch of midterms elections and other kind of trips, I believe I've filed stories from 46 or so of the 50 states. Alaska has eluded me. Idaho is never, I'm looking for a competitive race in Idaho. But I've spent a lot of time, not quite as much as Scott, but a lot of time on and off planes. And, the pace of the work in terms of how much travel varies. At the end of the campaign, I covered, Hillary with several other people. We had shifts where we'd be on 5 days on the road and off 5 days. But there are periods where during the primaries, you're out for 20 days at a time. But the big difference between what I did and what Scott did is a lot of the presidential travel is on charters, which means no TSA. Mm. It means, you're taking four flights a day, but you're on a private airplane, which is a totally different experience in terms of packing and just about everything else.
You do still have to have your clothes with you and all your essentials. So what are some of your strategies for packing? First, how do you hit the sweet spot between you don't want to overpack, but you don't want to leave things home? Let's start with you, Lisa.
Well, my biggest problem is always sneakers. I always had very grand ambitions of working out often. That did not happen given the pace of the work. So at some point, I simply gave up those dreams and had to come with the sad reality, reckon with the sad reality that I was probably not going to go for that run. But I know a lot of people get the very thin-soled, flexible sneakers, which actually can be a huge help because you can roll them up, you can fit them in a corner of a bag. I tended to switch to workouts that didn't involve sneakers because sneakers take up a huge portion of your bag, as do if you're a woman, heels. So I dropped heels pretty quickly, which isn't a problem because it's pretty active work running after these candidates. So heels are not the best footwear. But footwear was always a big problem. And then I never did the vacuum pack sacks, but I swear by the rolling method. I am fanatical about rolling. Roll, 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 roll everything, and you can fit twice as much stuff in the bag, if you roll them into like little sort of hot dog shapes than if you do flat folding.
All right, let's ask Scott those same questions. How do you deal with shoes, first of all? Because shoes are a big issue in packing.
Yeah, I was going to actually say it's really funny, Lisa, that you started with shoes because for me, the run is essential. When I'm on the road, I'm often staying in very remote places. Sometimes the hotel gym has like one treadmill and one horrible weight machine. So I need to go on a run, even if it's through a cornfield or a corporate industrial park. So I bring my sneakers almost everywhere. And what I do is I take my socks individually and stuff them in the toes of the sneaker.
Oh, great
tip. That actually helps it keep its shape a little bit and is like a dead zone that you can't fit anything else in. I then start rolling everything I can into my sneakers, whether that's running shorts or underwear. And then I put them at the bottom of my suitcase and start rolling things around the corners of the shoe shoes before I do the flat fold for like my dress shirts and other things that go on top of it. So I do a combination roll and fold, but the rolling and stuffing happens at the bottom to create that base. And then for me, shoes, and maybe I'm lucky here as a guy, I have one pair of comfortable shoes. I can walk 5 to 10 miles a day in them, but they look dressy and professional enough that if I'm going out for a nice dinner on vacation, or if I'm going off somewhere for a business meeting, I can usually get away with just one pair that I wear on the plane. Although occasionally I'll throw a pair of flip-flops into the bag for beach destinations and that conference where I might be able to sneak away to the pool. Ha ha ha.
Those are some great space-saving tips. The rolling, and putting socks inside shoes. I haven't thought about that. I actually do use those bags that you roll up and the air gets forced out of a little valve at the end. You don't need a vacuum cleaner, but it is vacuum packing. You can buy those on Amazon. They're very cheap. Let's talk a little bit about the things you must take with you. Do either of you keep a bag always ready with essentials, or do you have a checklist to make sure you don't leave stuff home, or are you of the opinion that if I need it and I forget it, I can just buy it? What's your method? Lisa, let's start with you.
So I basically had a bag pretty much ready to go. I'd sub in and out clothes, but there were certain things that were always in the bag. I had a full set of toiletries, mm-hmm. so I didn't have to unpack and repack toiletries mm-hmm. all the time. I'm a little picky. I suspect Scott is not as picky as I am about shower gel and, you know, hair products, but I'm a little picky. So I had travel size of everything, and I would just refill them and just keep that stocked. The other thing I swore by that actually I think just about everyone who covered presidential campaigns at AP ended up buying by the end of the campaign was one of these jackets that packs down into what looks like a sleeping bag holder. So the one I like is from Unico, and it's, you know, it's a reasonably warm jacket, but you can basically compress it down into a little sack that you can really wedge into the corner of a suitcase. So then you'd always have another layer, because a lot of times with presidential campaigns, you're starting the day in Florida, making a stop in, you know, Ohio and ending up in Denver, and the climate can change dramatically. So one of those lightweight but warm kind of jackets is essential, because you can throw over things, you can throw it under another, like a windbreaker or something. So I usually kept that in my suitcase as well.
And that's actually a great tip for recreational travelers as well. I mean, you know, I live in New York, and I was just in the South for a vacation. On the way back, I got stuck in Philadelphia, where the temperature was 23 degrees, and I was wearing my little light nothing that I had used on a trip in Mississippi, and I was freezing. So I am totally mm-hmm. going to look into that jacket. That sounds like a really great tip. How about you, Scott? Do you keep a bag ready with essentials? Do you have a list?
Yeah, I mean, like Lisa, I have my cosmetics ready to go at all times, and I actually have a separate drawer with a few of those little mini bottles that of sunscreen and also shampoo and conditioner. I normally will use the hotel soap and conditioner, but if I'm going to Europe, for instance, they don't tend to have conditioner in many of the hotels, so I will bring along a little thing of conditioner with me. I don't have a checklist, but I will say when I travel with my daughter, we have a checklist of all the kids stuff that we do. But my essentials really are one day's extra underwear and socks, because you never know where you're going to be stranded.
Never know.
I have a portable battery charger pack, which I bring along that, you know, my phone, unfortunately, has all my reservations. I need it for certain travel apps. And then I actually bring a pen. There are many old school things that you sometimes need to write down, or if you're traveling internationally, you need to fill out customs forms on a plane. So I always keep a pen in my bag.
This is Get Out of Here, the AP's travel podcast. I'm travel editor Beth Harpaz. More after a break. This is AP travel editor Beth Harpaz with our podcast, Get Out of Here. And we're talking with my AP colleagues, Scott Merowitz and Lisa Lehrer, about how to pack like an expert. Now, Scott, you mentioned, how parenthood, sometimes affects packing. I know, Lisa, you also have a young child. So what's different about being a mom or a dad and, you know, now you're packing not just for yourself, but for a child? Scott, you mentioned that you have a list.
Yeah, we keep a list of essentials. And I think there are, you know, if you're traveling almost anywhere in the world, you can always get those essential things that you need, whether it's a spare t-shirt or extra food. But there are favorite child toys that you always have to bring along. And we have a checklist that we kind of go through for everything on there. I do not try to check luggage unless I'm going on a ski vacation. But when traveling with my daughter, I do need to check. And that really changes the strategy for me. Right. First of all, when you check luggage, it's a lot harder to change flights when something goes wrong. And suddenly it becomes, forget the essentials. We're just checking bags. Let's throw everything in. So I think it does skew that mentality. So we try to do our checked bag in the carry-on size so we at least have that mentality of traveling light and being able to be flexible.
How about you, Lisa? Have you flown much with – you have a daughter, right? Have you flown much?
Right. Yeah, so my daughter is between, I brought her on some of the campaign travel, and we have a very far-flung family. So my daughter has actually flown really a ridiculous amount for a three-year-old, especially before she was two, when we could just throw her on our laps and we'd take her everywhere. So she's been abroad, she's been all over the U.S.,
wow.
And I have a lot of thoughts on this, but a few quick things. Like Scott, you have to check when you have a kid, but there are things I do not bring. So I don't bring diapers. I mean, I bring a few, right, in case things go really bad. You can buy diapers anywhere in the world. I'm not going to waste space packing diapers. We're thankfully past that stage. I also have lighter weight, cheaper versions of my car seat, my stroller, because these things get lost. They get damaged. We just went to Hawaii over December. Our stroller was damaged on the way back. The airlines will pay for it. But, you know, you don't want – some of this child gear is really expensive and really heavy. I mean, a lot of the stuff they design for kids, is especially babies, is just not built with travel in mind.
Right.
So I tend to find my car seat. I looked up the best budget lightweight car seat, and that's what I bought. So I have separate gear for her for traveling. And I also try to minimize, and I always bring, if I'm bringing my kid, I always bring little packs of detergent because kids are extremely dirty, as anyone who has them knows, and you can always wash something out in the sink if you have that detergent, and that has been a lifesaver on a couple of occasions.
And do you put the detergent in your checked baggage then? I can't remember if detergent is allowed by the TSA. I love that tip, by the way.
Well, powdered.
Powdered.
So you
okay.
can throw, but I, when I'm with her, I tend to check because, and actually a stain stick, I should have mentioned this.
Well,
I'm a big fan of the stain stick for myself, regardless of travel.
Absolutely.
But I do tend to check with my daughter, and we, like Scott, we really have to push off the overpacking temptation when you have a big suitcase. It can be really easy to think you need a lot of things, but then you end up lugging them around and never use them.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to remember.
Or you're at the curb, and you know, sometimes from the curb to the check-in counter, even though it looks like a few feet, my daughter starts running one way, and then suddenly I'm dragging a giant suitcase behind me, even though I plan to check it. So I think it's that mentality. You have to always think light.
Okay, finally, true confessions from the TSA line. What is the weirdest thing that you've had the TSA unpack from your bag and examine? For me, it's always food. I always seem to get in some kind of a tiff with them. Last month, I bought a bag of heirloom dried rice grown in the South, and they tested it for bomb residue. Yay! So how about you guys? Any true confessions?
I actually have a good one on this one. I went to Morocco on a trip with my husband, and we flew back through Canada, and we got stopped by a Canadian TSA for harissa. And I, which, you know, is not a liquid, may mention.
It explain what it is. It's a spice, right?
It is a spicy red pepper paste. But, you know, it looked a little sketchy. We'd bought it at a market. It was covered with masking tape. So they pulled it, and I went insane. I said, this is a paste. It is not a liquid. It's a paste. And I had this big fight with them. They agreed to let me mail it home. We you know, got stuck in the back of the line.
Oh, my goodness.
We almost missed our flight.
Oh,
they went through every single thing in our bag. You know, it was ridiculous. And we filed a complaint at the airport with the Canadian TSA booth, and afterwards they actually called us up and apologized and told us that the agents had been disciplined. Yes, it was a very validating victory over TSA, but I did learn that even paste sometimes can be counted as liquid, yeah. and not allowed through.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to us today. Our producer and editor is AP broadcast correspondent Warren Levinson, and I'm AP travel editor Beth Harpass, signing off for Get Out of Here.